Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order that he said was meant to protect American workers.
I will be signing a Buy American and Hire American executive order. You haven't heard about that in a long time in this country. With this action, we are sending a powerful signal to the world. We're going to defend our workers, protect our jobs, and finally, put America first.
The order takes aim at two specific areas: federal government requirements to purchase American goods and services, which the order aims to enforce, and the H-1B visa program for temporary employment of foreign workers with highly specialized knowledge, a visa program that's relied on by Silicon Valley tech companies and technology outsourcing firms. The president says the order is meant to end abuses of the visa program that allow companies to replace American workers with foreign workers for less pay. Here to talk with us about the possible impact of President Trump's executive order are David Beer, an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity, and Angelo Paparelli, a partner at Safeworth Shaw. Angelo, what reforms do we know that from this order that the Trump administration is going to undertake to change the visa program?
Well, the order really, it does not involve any immediate action or any immediate deadline. And it appears that these are aspirational instructions rather than hard and fast changes. There are two sets of instructions in the order. One deals with suggesting new rules and policy guidance that would supersede or revise previous rules and guidance. Well, that triggers a very complicated, time-consuming process under the Administrative Procedure Act, where rules are proposed and the Office of Management and Budget screens the rule, circulates copies to multiple federal agencies and departments, and then gets feedback, while the members of the public and the stakeholder community have an opportunity to talk about it. There's no deadline set for this, and I think that's wise, since it's almost impossible to predict how long that will go. But the second one is interesting because it introduces a concept that we should accord these visas to individuals who are among the highest paid and the most skilled in the particular field. That is not allowed in the law at present, and the Congress would have to act to bring that about. It would also involve a rather gargantuan task, much harder than a lottery. In a lottery, it's just a random draw, but in trying to filter through this time it was about 233,000 petitions submitted for 85,000 lucky recipients who are selected, to try to filter through 230,000 divided by industry and occupation, and then come up with a method of determining a comparison as to which are the most highest skilled and highest paid. That's not an easy task for an agency not known to be nimble.
David, Trump said the visa program has driven down wages for Americans. Is that true when only 85,000 H-1B visas are available each year?
Well, no, it's not true. If you look at the industry overall, what you see is that these foreign immigrant workers who come in end up taking certain types of jobs, and native-born workers have responded to that by moving into managerial positions and moving up the pay scale. And so there has been a shifting in the industry over the past decade or so, but you're not seeing this kind of horror stories of displacement and unemployment and declining wages. In fact, wages in the largest fields that H-1Bs go to, the most common H-1B occupations, have actually increased, while wages in other sectors of the economy have gone down. And so it's really a very selective reading of the information that he's received in order to come to this conclusion. And if you actually look at when these H-1Bs are coming and when companies are demanding H-1Bs, it's overwhelmingly at times when the unemployment rate in these industries, these tech, computer, and mathematics jobs, the unemployment rate is very, very low, and it's very, very low right now. And so it's just not true that you're seeing this kind of displacement and replacement overall in the industry. There have been a few cases, but not the general trend that he's trying to create.
Angelo, we have about 30 seconds, but is there a feeling in the industries that use these visas that there's a need to change the program?
Well, there's a tremendous need to eliminate the cap, which is artificial and was has not changed meaningfully since 1990. The number of workers where positions are in short supply, where workers are in short supply in terms of the positions, is very disproportionate. Recently, the San Diego Union Tribune said that there are $80,000 jobs available that go begging for applicants in cybersecurity, and these are jobs that are
Angela,
quite
let me
important.
Ask you to hold that thought. President Trump yesterday signed an executive order that requires the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, the Secretary of Labor, and the Secretary of Homeland Security to suggest reforms to help ensure that H-1B visas, which are for foreign workers with highly specialized knowledge, are only awarded to the most highly skilled or highest paid workers. The president says that this changing the H-1B visa program would protect American workers and end abuses in the program. We are talking about the president's order with David Beer, an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute, and Angelo Paparelli, a partner at Seyfarth Shaw. Angelo, we were talking about what actually is needed to reform the program, and you suggested lifting the cap and having a higher number of visas would actually be a good way to reform the program. But it seems unlikely that that's what President Trump is aiming for here, right? And so is this order really about sort of kind of making it a more rational system, or is it really about restricting immigration?
Well, we have to take it in context. Previously, in meeting with leaders from Silicon Valley, he seemed to be open to their concerns as well. We've had higher numbers in the past, and usually it was a trade-off, stricter regulation for higher numbers. And I think that would be the way to go. At one point, we had 190,000 and up to more than 200,000 numbers, as opposed to what we have now, 85,000.
And so, David, will Silicon Valley be benefiting from this, or is this purely a lottery system so you don't see who benefits?
Well, look, the lottery is bad for many of the big tech companies like Google and Microsoft, who actually pay their workers far more than they're required to under the law. And what ends up happening is that in the lottery system, you have these IT staffing companies that submit thousands upon thousands of applications, and so then they win the lottery because they have the most raffle tickets, not because they have the greatest need or are going to pay the worker they're going to bring over the most money. And so there are companies who would actually benefit from, you know, raising the minimum wage for H-1B or that type of thing. But all of those types of regulations are really unnecessary. What we have in the H-1B market is this sort of fraudulent government-created problem, which is that the workers are stuck with a single employer. If the worker can leave his employer at any time and go get paid $40,000 more at another tech company, then he'll do that if he has access to the market. The only way a company can get away with paying below market wages is if the worker doesn't have access to the market. And so the real reform that President Trump could actually do here is make it easy for workers to leave an employer that underpays them.
Angelo, given that so many of these visas are given to workers who end up at companies that are really outsourcing firms, they do contracting work for other companies in technology and fields like that, and that, you know, that's why the Silicon Valley companies aren't getting all of the visas. Is it actually a good thing to sort of figure out a way to restrict their ability to get these visas, those companies?
Well, I take issue with what David said, calling them staffing companies. These are really business process and IT consulting firms that introduce much-needed innovations in the way American businesses operate and make them more globally competitive. I think a promising bill would be to start with what Representative Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat from Silicon Valley, has proposed, which would allocate a certain number of the visas, if we have to stay with a cap, to smaller employers that will not be filing many. But I think it's misleading to point the blame at consulting firms. They're not really staff augmentation firms. They're much more sophisticated than that. And when Americans want to say we've had enough technology, then I think we can perhaps reduce the H-1B. But no one has an appetite for that.
Do you want to give us a 30-second response to that, David?
You know, I think we're just talking about semantics. I don't disagree with anything that Angela just said. Ultimately, you know, these companies provide a valuable, asset to the firms that they are supporting. And so there's no reason to prevent them from accessing the H-1B. We need more H-1Bs. But my point was that some of these large companies who pay workers more would ultimately benefit if the minimum wage was raised or other things were done to restrict access to the H-1B.
Our thanks
and
to
I agree.
Well, we're out of time now, so our thanks to David Beer of the Cato Institute and Angelo Paparelli, a partner at Safeworth Shaw, for talking about immigration policy and the president's order on the H-1B visa program, which was issued yesterday.